Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
So it's great to have you guys here this evening, and really excited about what God is doing, and looking forward to moving into two services. It's going to be a little strange in the morning because the building's so packed in the morning at the moment, and we know it's going to obviously change for a little while, but that's okay, amen. It empties and then it fills, amen. And we give God all the glory. And so it's so good to have you tonight. I'm going to be finishing a series that we've been doing the last few weeks. I don't do this very often where I finish the series at night. But I felt led by the Spirit to do this because I want to close this off. And I believe tonight God will touch people very, very powerfully. You know, when you get a revelation of something, that revelation will affect you and change you. So if you get a revelation of who God truly is, that change, that revelation that you get has the potential to change your life so drastically. If we only knew how powerful and how wonderful and how mighty our God is, if we only knew that and we really understood that, there would be no limit to what He can do in our lives. There would be no limit to the potential relationship that you can have with Him. I don't know about you, we talk about what God can do for us, but it's also just so wonderful to be in relationship with Him, to have intimacy with Him, to spend time with Him. And so this evening I want to move sort of out of the Old Testament, and I'm going to reveal to you just, you know, I showed you some names of God. And as I explained to you this morning, you know, we have, you know, what some scholars would suggest to be the redemptive names of God. So, for example, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi. Now, that's not necessarily, it's not wrong, but the reality is that really when we reveal the word Jehovah, it's actually speaking about the Lord, you know, the Lord of hosts, or, you know, the Lord, our banner. And, you know, it's not really His name. Really, what it is it reveals His character. It reveals who He is to you. And I'm going to show you, even in the New Testament, when we see Jesus get revealed for the first time, it's very interesting, the name that was chosen to reveal who the Christ would be, who the Messiah would be. And it's the same principle, because really, we don't really call Him that name. Why? Because it's not about that. You see, you need to know who He is. You need to know Him. You need to know who He is, His character, His nature. And it's His nature and character that will transform you and change you. Not an image. Not a created image or a created name or something that's not real. You know, we don't worship statues. We don't worship images. We worship the living God. That's why when I was a young Christian, I remember I was so intimidated by this reality of the names of God. I wanted to make sure that I was worshiping the right God. So what I would do is I would pray and I would say, Father, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And there was no confusion, because that God is the God that I serve. Amen. And so it's scriptural. We see so many times He says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so as a young believer, I used to want to be sure that I'm praying to that God, to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I'm sure God used to maybe laugh at me, and that's okay. But my heart was so sincere to make sure that I would worship the correct God, the right God, not some thing that isn't real. You know, it's very interesting, because when Moses was on the mountain getting the commandments, the people were down in the valley, and they got very restless. So Aaron built a golden calf, because the people wanted to worship something. And they created an image, and God got very angry. What you may not know is that a calf in the original Hebrew represented perhaps in the alphabet, the original Hebrew, one of the first letters of the name of God actually is an ox. So they were wrong, sincerely wrong, but they were trying to do something. And so they were trying to create an image, a golden calf, which wasn't the real God. And it just shows us that we must never be impatient. If we don't see what we want to see happen right away, that doesn't mean we must move on to something else. Or maybe this God doesn't really answer us. Listen, He's the only God. You can't create something that isn't real. You can't force something because you want it to suit your theology. It must be the truth. If there's one thing about God, and He reveals this throughout Scripture when He reveals Himself to us, it's that He is truth. Our reality, as I shared with you this morning, is sometimes a little bit confused because we see with 20/20 vision. We see in the dimension that we see with our eyes, which, to be completely honest, is not really what's going on around you. You can't see the angels. You can't see the demons. You can't see the spiritual activity that's busy taking place right now in this room, but it's busy happening, and God can see it. Because He doesn't see the way we see. He sees multidimensional. He can see everything. Amen. So we think and we walk in the flesh. Now, I'm going to talk more about that in the days to come, when we talk about the spirit realm. But it's so important for us at this point, starting to understand the names of God. And if you weren't here and you missed it, please go to our website. You can download the first few episodes, I suppose you can call them. And you can get it, and you can kind of understand where I'm coming from. But tonight, we are going to talk about the name that is above every other name. The only name that you really need to understand and know, because that name reveals who God really is. Amen. So let's take a look at it. Let's start in Isaiah 7, verse number 14. Isaiah 7, verse number 14. And I'll try and get you guys out when I'm finished. Amen. Therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and He shall call His name Emmanuel. Emmanuel. The prophet Isaiah prophesies about the coming Messiah and says His name will be Emmanuel. And this prophecy was given a long time ago. What you may not realize is Isaiah was a prophet that wasn't really close to when Jesus came. It was years and years, hundreds of years before Jesus actually came, that he was busy prophesying. So this is a vision of the Messiah, which is so supernatural and so profound. Isaiah 8, verse number 8 says, He will pass through Judah. He will overflow and pass over. He will reach up to the neck, and the stretching out of His wings will fill the breadth of your land. Oh, Emmanuel, Emmanuel. Now let's go to the New Testament. Matthew 1, verse number 23. Matthew 1, verse number 23. It says this. This is Joseph busy having a conversation. Watch this now. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. So what the name means, the name of Jesus, which is Emmanuel, is actually God with us. I've revealed to you over the last few weeks the different expressions and characteristics of who God is. When the first picture we get of who the Messiah is and His name or His characteristic or who He is He is God with us. Which means that God chose to send His Son in the flesh to dwell amongst us, to be with us, to walk with us, to save us, to deliver us, to heal us. God with us. So now He was not only going to be sort of up there and doing His thing and operating through individuals that He selectively chose, but He chose to come down and deliver and save all of us by sending His Son, by sending Himself, His Son, God with us. Now watch. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. Jesus. Now let me tell you something about that name. That name, I have seen in my few years in ministry, I've seen the power of that name. I've seen people broken And when they fall on their knees and they cry out that name, how the Lord delivers them and touches them. I have seen demons scream with fear because of that name. I have seen healing in the physical body, not only spiritually or in the soul dimension. I have seen healing take place because of that name. There is no other name. You see, God came and He dwelled amongst us. Then when He left, He sent His Spirit to stay with us, not only to dwell amongst us, but to actually dwell inside of us, so that He could continue to manifest Himself on the earth. That's why you are so important. That's why your destiny and your purpose is so important, because God wants to manifest Himself through you. But He needs a vessel that is open and willing to be used, that says, Lord, I don't want my life. I want your life. I want to do things the way you want me to do them. I want to serve you. I lay myself down. Let me tell you something, church. Every prophecy about the end time church describes a bride without spot and wrinkle. That doesn't mean we're going to be perfect, but that means we'll understand who we are in Christ. That means that we will walk with a desire to serve Him, to follow Him, to love Him. And that will shift our focus from the sin nature and the nature of the carnal nature. And we will begin to focus on things that are spiritual because of our desire to serve Him. That's the end time church. So how do we know what God is truly like? John 14, verse number 5. Watch this. John 14, verse number 5. Thomas said to Him, to Jesus now, Lord, we do not know where You are going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. There's no misinterpretation of Scripture. There's no Greek or Hebrew word that can change what that says. There is only one way. There is only one truth. There is only one life. And there is only one way to the Father. Listen, if you pray in any other name, through any saint, through any statue, through anything that isn't the name of Jesus, you fall on deaf ears, and there will be no truth to whatever manifestation takes place, because the only true manifestation can take place through the name of Jesus. Now watch. If you had known Me, you would have known My Father also. And from now on, you know Him and have seen Him. And Philip said to Him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known Me, Philip? He who has seen Me has seen the Father. See, how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in Me? And the words that I speak to you, I do not speak on My own authority, but the Father who dwells in Me does the works. If you want to know who God is, if you want to know what God is like, you need to know who Jesus is. You need to know how Jesus walked. You need to know how Jesus operated, and then you will begin to see. You see, the disciples wanted to know, what was God truly like? Who is God? What is He really like? They asked Jesus, and Jesus said to him, how long have I been with you? Don't you know that I am the Father? The Father is in Me. We are the same. The way that I walk, the way that I talk, the way that I love, the way that I forgive sins, the way that I love and have compassion on those who are sick, that's the Father. If you want to know what God is like, you need to know who Jesus is. You need to know His heart, His nature, His character, the way He operates. Listen, even sometimes we see how the religious people got so upset with Jesus because He had compassion, because He didn't judge, because He always reached out to those who were sinners, who were broken, who were lost. The Bible says that He came for the sinner. He came for the brokenhearted. It's a story of restoration. God wants to restore you to Himself. He wants to save you, deliver you, but He wants to restore you. In the old Hebrew mind, there was no separation between salvation and healing. If you came to God and you repented, you were also touched in your physical body. Something's gone wrong. Something's changed. Our minds have shifted. What we don't understand is that salvation and coming to Christ and coming to God calls for restoration, calls for healing, calls for deliverance. Because He's our healer. I'm sharing with you from our series. In 2 weeks, I'm going to stop. No more. You people are pulling this out of me. Behave. The Bible says in Colossians 1:15, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. What does God look like? What is He like? Jesus is the image of the invisible God. You want to know what God's like? You need to know Jesus. I know we can't really get a proper idea, but sometimes even just watching those movies, the Bible or whatever it was, and you just see the way Jesus would have compassion, the way Jesus would love. When people come for healing to you, do you operate with that same compassion? Do you operate with that same love? When someone comes to Christ and gives their hearts to Jesus, do you have the same compassion? Do you have the same passion and love for them that He had for them? We have to change our hearts. We have to become so intentional about touching lives. Amen. Hebrews 1, verses 1 to 3. Hebrews 1, verses 1 to 3. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers of the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. That means Jesus was in the beginning. Who, being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. I'm hoping by now you get the picture that if you want to know God, you need to know Jesus. You don't need to know all the names. You don't need to remember Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah. You don't need to know that. What you need to know is who Jesus is and how Jesus operates. And I will show you in just a few minutes how every one of those names I taught you, it comes out in the character of Jesus. When I started the series, I started with the name Elohim. And I explained to you that that name was the first name that we saw. It's very interesting to me now. This is no theological thing. This is just something I saw. Is that okay? The first names I went through was Elohim, El Elyon, and El Shaddai. And Elohim was the name that was used throughout creation. God never revealed His name as Yahweh during creation, because He was using a supernatural creative power and He revealed Himself as Elohim. All the way up to, I believe it's verse 26 in Genesis or chapter, anyway, somewhere there. Amen. And then after that, He reveals His Himself as Yahweh without the vowels. As I've explained to you, I'm not going to get into that now. You need to go and listen to the series and you'll understand. But it's very powerful, extremely powerful. But what I find interesting is that in the beginning, it starts with Elohim. And the first part of the name is El, which is actually represents God. Now, it's interesting that He was the first there, and Emmanuel is at the end of the name. He's the first, and he's the last. He starts out with creative power and he comes into the world, God with us. And he's here with us now. I don't know about you, but I think that's so awesome. I think there's no mistakes in the Bible. Elohim, Emmanuel, God with us. Or with us, actually, what it should say is it should say with us, God. It's so powerful that God wants to be in relationship with you. He wants to have intimacy with you. Now let's take a look at the word El Elyon, which was the first name we really went into. El Elyon spoke of God Most High. God Most High. Now, I remember speaking to you and showing you this. Now, let's look at Ephesians 1, 19. Let's go to Ephesians 1, 19. I'm like wanting to move ahead of myself. So in the Old Testament, God reveals himself as the God Most High, El Elyon. Ephesians 1, 19 says this, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places." Listen, there's no higher seat than the right hand of the God Most High. There is no higher seat. Jesus is also God Most High because he is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he is in God, and he is at the highest seat. And it says far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Jesus Christ is our God Most High. No one has a higher seat than he does. No one operates with authority higher than his name. Can you say amen? The second name we looked at was the name El Shaddai, which stood for God Almighty. El Shaddai, God Almighty. Beautiful. In Revelation 1 verse number 8, it says this, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, who was, and who is to come." Watch now. The Almighty, El Shaddai. Jesus also represents El Shaddai, God Almighty in your life. When you understand that he is almighty, that there is no other name like his name, you will understand that God who represents himself or displays himself as God Almighty in the Old Testament, in the New Testament through Christ, he is almighty. I thought you'd be really excited about that, but anyway, amen. Now, when we went over and looked at the name Yahweh, we looked at Jehovah or Yahweh, and the first name we looked at was the Lord is my banner, or Jehovah Nissi, which is the Lord is my banner, but also describes kind of the Lord going before us, the banner of the Lord going before us. And John 16:33 says this, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer." Why? Because I have overcome. He has overcome this world. If he has overcome this world, he has gone before you. The Lord is my banner. He has gone before me. And because he overcame, I can also overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. You see, Jesus is also the Lord, our banner. We also looked at the name Jehovah Tzavot, which is the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts. And I shared with you the story between David and Goliath. And in 1 Samuel 17:45, we see David make this beautiful statement. I just love it. I can like picture it, where he says, "Then David said to the Philistine, 'You came to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied.'" You remember when Elijah took his servant, when the armies came against him, when the king came and rose up against him, and there was a big army in front of him, and Elijah said to his servant, "Don't worry." The servant goes outside and looks at this big army, and he begins to panic. He begins to freak out. The prophet stands there, and the prophet has eyes to see. You see, the prophet's eyes are open, and he can see, and he prays for his servant, and his servant's eyes go open. And the Bible says that he saw chariots of fire. He saw an army of God that was there with him. What you need to know is that the army of the Lord is with you, but this is also represented in our Messiah. Watch this. Amen. Matthew 26, verse number 53. Or do you think, this is Jesus now when they're arresting him, watch this. Or do you think that I cannot pray to my Father and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? The Lord of hosts, Jesus, sits at the right hand and makes intercession for us. It's one prayer, it's one command, and all of God's army will be standing right beside you to take on whatever the enemy wants to do in your life. What you need to know is the Lord is your banner. He's also the Lord of hosts, and Jesus represents him. Jesus is exactly who that is. Can you say amen? Now, we can go on and on and on, but this morning I shared with you one last name, or one last representation of the character of Jesus, which was Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. And what we saw this morning, which was so beautiful, was the Bible says that the Lord is my shepherd, and goes on to say, I shall not want. That means that you, if you're in covenant with him and he is your shepherd, leading and guiding and protecting you, you will not want. That means that you will not lack. That means that even when you're in the shadow of death, that means that even when you're in dark places, regardless of what comes around you, his rod and his staff will comfort you. His rod and his staff will protect you. You see, it's not a rod and a staff for nothing, because the one pulls you out, the one protects you and guards you, but the one will also ward off the enemy when it comes against you. What you need to know is that Jesus is also your shepherd. John 10, verse number 9 says this, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pastures. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Now watch. But I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Listen, this shepherd is so good that he gave his life for you. He gave his life so you could live. He gave his life so you could be victorious. He gave his life so that you could walk and fulfill destiny and purpose. This is only the beginning. This earth is only the beginning. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. John 10, 27 says this, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. They follow me. He's our shepherd. He's our provider. He takes care of us. He protects us. I don't know about you guys, but Jesus is so awesome. He is so awesome. And you see, what you don't realize is that the more you know about him and how powerful he is and how awesome he is, and the more it becomes a reality to you and you understand that he's a healer, that in the name of Jesus you cast out demons, in the name of Jesus he's your shepherd, in the name of Jesus he's your banner, in the name of Jesus he's the Lord of hosts. If you understand that, when you speak, your authority increases. Why? Because you know that name. You understand what that name means. That name carries weight. That name carries power. That name carries authority. And it changes you. And it changes your circumstances. And when you're standing in the storm, you can say, I know my Lord. Peace be to you. And you will see how God will move on your behalf. Amen. The last name I want to talk about after I have a sip of water is one of the names that to me personally is just so beautiful. And I love it so much because the Hebrew people refer to God in the Bible, in their Bible, most of the time is Adonai. And they do that because the name Yahweh, which is actually spelt without vowels, is a holy name. And so they won't say that name. So instead of using the name Yahweh without the vowels, which is in the Hebrew Yud Hey Vav Hey, that's the Hebrew language, which you can't really pronounce, what they did was they took the name Adonai, which means Lord or Master. And what the scholars did, or the scribes did, was they took the vowels from the name Adonai and they put those vowels in the name of God. So when the Hebrew people would see those vowels in that name, they would replace the name with the name Adonai. Now you may not see how powerful that is, but there's only one Lord. I find it interesting that even the Hebrew people call the name Lord or Adonai every time they say the name of God. I find that to be so powerful and so profound. The word Adonai means Lord. It also means Master. You see, He is our Master. He is our Lord. Now watch this. Are you guys okay in Vero Beach on a Sunday night? Revelation 19, verse number 16 says this. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is our Lord. He is our King. He is our Adonai. Amen. Romans 10, verses 8 to 9 says this. But what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There's only one name. Acts 4:12 says this. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There's only one name, and his name is Jesus. John 14, verse number 10 says this. Do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father in me? That the words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. You see, Jesus is true love. Jesus is our healer. Jesus operated with compassion, full of compassion, slow to anger. He's the lion, he's the lamb. Jesus never came to save perfect people. He came to save the brokenhearted. Jesus came to deliver. Jesus came to touch. Jesus came to set free. But listen, he came 100% man and he came 100% God. Every temptation he knew. He walked as man, but he also walked as God. Not 50% and 50%, 100% man, 100% God. And let me tell you something. There are moments in Scripture where you see him operating as God, like when he walked on the water, because only God can do that. We see him operate as God completely. We see moments like the moment where he gets caught up and Elijah and Moses are on the mountain with him, and it's the Mount of Transfiguration, and he operates fully as God because he is God, because God is in him. Yes, there's the triune God. Don't get confused. That's not what I'm saying. They are not separate. They are not one only. They are one, but they are the same, but they are different. There are three parts, one God. Don't worry about it. Just understand this, that's the name that you need to know. You need to know that name. The triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But it's that name that will touch you. It's that name that will deliver you. There's no other name that I've seen heal broken hearts like that name. One more scripture and I'm going to close. Philippians 2, verse number 9 says this. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of those in heaven and of those on the earth and of those under the earth. Oh my. And that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Why? Because it's to the glory of our God and Father. Can you say amen? There is no other name. There is no other name. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. They may not bow now, but they are gonna bow because they will have no choice. They will see him how he is. But you are blessed because you can see him now, who he is, that he is your protector, that he is your mercy, that he is your grace, that he is your goodness, that he is your deliverer. You can see it now. Why do you want to wait until you are forced to see it? Now you have the opportunity. Now you have the opportunity to make your life right with God. Now you have the opportunity to call him Adonai, the Lord, your master. You can do it now. Can somebody say amen? Can somebody say amen? I don't want to play games. I don't want to just believe. I want to serve him. I want to love him. I want to give everything I can to him. Let's all stand on our feet. Let's lift our hands. Let's praise the name of Jesus. Let's give a shout of praise to the only name that is above every other name. Now, just begin to worship. Just begin to worship. Thank God for that name. Thank God for our Savior. Thank God for our Deliverer. This evening in this place, just lift your hands. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life, because let me tell you something. Tonight it's that name. It's that person, Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that will meet you, that will touch you, that will save you, that will deliver you. Right now in this place, if you cry out to him, if you say, Lord, I give my life to you, I give my heart to you, he will touch you right now where you are. We're going to begin to worship. We're going to begin to praise him. We're going to begin to cry out to him because he is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. Let's worship.
Jesus is the risen King with the power and glory.
For us. And Father, we thank you that when he went up to be with you at the right hand, that you sent your Spirit so that the same Spirit that was in our precious Savior now dwells inside of us. And Father, I thank you that the life, that the love, that the peace, that the joy, that all those things, that the qualities of our King now lay present inside of every one of us, because surely our peace can do nothing, but his peace changes everything. Our love can do nothing, but your love can change everything. I pray tonight in this place, Father, that you will just fill this place, for there are people in this place tonight that desperately need a touch from you. And I pray, Lord, as we've revealed your Son to them tonight, that they will reach out and they will touch the hem of his garment in this place tonight. Father, I pray right now, that you will just touch them, that you will touch them right where they are. I don't want to call anybody to the front tonight. Right there where you are, I have revealed who he is to you, only in part because there's so much more. He's a healer. He's a deliverer. There's so many things that I can show you, but there's one thing that's for sure, and that is that you will never truly live because he is the life. You will never truly live until you surrender your life to him. Surrender to him tonight. Surrender to him. Surrender your heart. Surrender your family. Surrender your business. Surrender it to him tonight. Say, Lord, I give it to you. I can't do it. I know I can't run my family without you, Lord. I can't be the father I need to be without you. I can't be the pastor I need to be without you. I can't do it, Lord. But in you, nothing is impossible because of the blood of Jesus. And so I pray tonight, Father, those that need healing, that they will reach out to you tonight, the God who heals. Those that need a breakthrough, they will reach out to you because you are the Lord of breaks, and you will give them breakthrough tonight. Those that need a miracle, that they will reach out to you because you are the God of miracles. I take authority right now over every demon spirit that is plaguing any person in this place. I take authority over you now, and I bind you now. I break your power. I command you to leave now. I command you to go now. I break your power in Jesus' name. For whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And freedom is in this place tonight. If you desire to be free, just lift your hands and freedom will come upon you, because Jesus is the one who sets us free. Amen. 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 Now we worship just for a minute, but very intimately. Now just worship him. So Father, in this attitude and heart of gratitude, we're so thankful to you. You deserve all the glory. You deserve all the praise. For Father, you came and set us free. And now we are free indeed. And so Father, we give our hearts and our lives to you tonight in this place. For there is none like you. I pray, Father, for every precious person that is here tonight, that they will leave knowing more and understanding more of your greatness, your goodness, and your mercy, which surely shall follow us all the days of our lives. We love you. We praise and we worship you tonight in this place. You deserve all of the glory. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' precious name, amen.